If the Reform Party is a third party, then this is the week of fourth, fifth, and sixth parties, too. The U.S. Taxpayers Party finished its convention in San Diego yesterday with the nomination of Howard Phillips to be the standard bearer. And today, the Green Party concludes its convention in Los Angeles by nominating Ralph Nader as its candidate. The Natural Law Party doesn't begin meeting until Wednesday here in Washington, D.C., but its members already know who will be on their ticket. Quantum physicist John Hagelin is the presidential candidate, and teacher Mike Tompkins is running as vice president.
The Federal Election Commission is giving $12.5 million each to the Republican and Democratic parties for their national nominating conventions. But that public funding is matched or exceeded by what corporations are spending on the conventions. The exact amount may not be known until after the fall elections. These private contributions often take the form of donations to convention host committees and unregulated gifts of goods and services to the political parties. Some political observers wonder if private spending isn't buying influence beyond the reach of most voters. From Chicago, NPR's Cheryl Duvall reports.
The term political party has taken on a literal meaning in Chicago this summer. There will be more than 100 invitation-only parties, receptions, banquets, fashion shows, golf outings, in conjunction with the Democratic National Convention. Most are sponsored by private concerns, including Anheuser-Busch and Coca-Cola, the American Gas Association, Searle Pharmaceuticals, and Microsoft. Some of these same donors are also supporting the nonprofit convention host committee, Chicago 96. That committee added $1 million to its total during the July 4th weekend, with a gala fundraiser featuring President Bill Clinton.
We used to say down home, I might be preaching to the saved tonight, but I want you to go out and preach this for the next 4 months because I need your help. Every one of you, if you can afford to be at this fundraiser tonight, you have the capacity to influence somebody else.
Chicago 96 has raised more than $9 million from 74 private companies and organizations. Each donated at least $100,000. Along with admission to parties like the one with the president, major donors get to promote themselves as vice chairs of the host committee on Chicago 96 street banners and other advertisements. That's about all they get, says host committee chairman Richard Notabart, a Republican and CEO of the regional phone company Ameritech. There will be no special privileges, such as convention floor access, for contributors to the host committee, insists co-chair William Daly, a brother of the mayor and occasional advisor to the president. Many private donors echoed Notabart and Daly and declined to say much else. Host committee contributor the Chicago Federation of Labor is one of the few to admit to some self-interest.
The president's going to be there, the mayor of the city of Chicago will be there, and Bill Daly, hopefully when it's all over, will be a cabinet member somewhere in D.C., and he'll be there.
Dennis Gannon is secretary-treasurer of the Labor Federation. He says it's crucial to his constituency to return Bill Clinton to the White House.
He's always been there on strike or replacement for us. He's been there on minimum wage for us. He's been somebody that's banged the gong for us on many occasions. And in turn, labor is going to be there for their friends.
Like corporations, labor unions are prohibited by law from making direct contributions to parties or campaigns, but private concerns can offer more than money. The Chicago Federation of Labor, for example, is smoothing out potential labor problems at the convention site. The Federation has sent a liaison to work with the Democratic National Convention Committee just for this purpose. And Ameritech, the communications company, has donated an internet website and more than $5,000 in equipment to the Chicago 96 host committee. The Federal Election Commission no longer regulates in-kind contributions like these as it does monetary donations. That means General Motors will be able to lend hundreds of courtesy cars to both conventions, and United, the official convention airline, will donate frequent flyer miles to Democratic and Republican party officials.
These are big corporate interests who find every opportunity to finance our politics.
That's Ellen Miller, executive director of the nonpartisan Center for Responsive Politics. She contends that corporations and other private interests support the conventions primarily to rub elbows with policymakers, and she argues that where there's access, there is influence.
There's no end to the effect that Washington can have on the business of most of corporate America, and they want to be there and they want to be generous to make sure that the quote-unquote lines of communication are still open. Lines of communications to decision makers, cabinet secretaries, officials in the White House, lawmakers in Congress, that are simply not available to average folks.
Only about 4% of voting-age Americans make direct political contributions at all, she says, and those who do tend to donate along party lines. But corporations tend to give money to both parties and their conventions, regardless of their executives' partisan affiliations. The post-Watergate-era reforms that introduced public funding for conventions were supposed to deflect undue influence by private concerns. Democratic Party officials have said that the convention-related contributions provide service and not access. But with so many invitation-only events surrounding the convention, it'll be hard to determine where the service ends and the access begins. In Chicago, I'm Cheryl Duvall reporting.